Children and teenagers enjoy getting invitations to parties, and the ladies in particular are always delighted when they get an invitation to a wedding. I think that secretly the men are happy enough to go as well. But today I would like to interest you in a story that the Lord Jesus told about a feast. It was a parable. You'll read about it in your own Bible in Luke 14, and as always, I would encourage you to read the Bible for yourself. It's very instructive just to read the inspired word of God. So in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, there's the record of this parable told by the Saviour. It's a story about a man who made a great feast, and as was the custom, invitations were sent out. But on the day of the feast, a servant was sent round about, and he was told to tell the people, "Come, for all things are now ready." He went to three successive people, and each one of them had an excuse. The first said he'd bought a piece of ground and he would have to go and see it. The other had bought 10 bullocks and he had to go and see that they were all right. And the other said he'd married a wife and so he wouldn't come. So I've no doubt it was a dejected servant who went back to his master. The master said, "Right, you go out into the cities and go up the back streets of the city and find the poor and the crippled and those who are blind and tell them to come." Well, he did it, and still there was room. So he was sent out again into the country areas, and again he gathered them in, and the house was filled. Now you might say, what is the point of that parable? I was taught at the school that a parable is just an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. What then is the spiritual significance of that parable which the Lord Jesus Christ told? Well, I want to suggest to you that the man who made the feast represents God. And the feast itself represents all the blessings that God wants us to enjoy. I don't mean the physical blessings of health and home and employment. I'm referring now to spiritual blessings. And you might ask, what do you mean by spiritual blessings? Well, for example, there is the blessing of forgiveness, and that's a blessing that we all need. You see, the Bible teaches us that we are all guilty in the sight of God. And that's what the Bible says. All the world is guilty before God. It's as if God has taken us into his law court, he has placed us in the dock, he has heard the evidence, and he has pronounced the verdict. And in every case, the verdict is guilty. I am guilty, you are guilty. So because we are guilty, we need to be forgiven. And forgiveness is one of the blessings that God sets on the table for us, as it were. Another blessing he wants us to enjoy is the blessing of redemption. Now, redemption has to do with being set free, and we need to be set free. For not only are we guilty in the sight of God, but the Bible speaks of us as being slaves of sin. The Saviour said, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and we need to be emancipated from the habits of sin. In some people's lives, it may be a tendency to lie. In other people's lives, it may be a tendency to blaspheme. It could be selfishness, pride, envy. It could be an addiction. But one way or another, we need to be set free from the power of sin, and redemption is another of the blessings that God makes available to us. Another blessing he wants us to enjoy is the blessing of cleansing from sin, because sin has defiled us. I know it's not palatable, but the Bible does say we are all as an unclean thing. Sin has left a dark stain upon our lives. But cleansing is available. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, the Bible says, and so cleansing is another of the blessings that God wants to make available to us. He wants us to enjoy the blessing of justification, that is, he wants to declare us righteous, for again, the Bible says, we're unrighteous, there's none righteous, no, not one. Another blessing he wants us to enjoy is peace. God doesn't want you to go through life with a sense of guilt. He doesn't want you to have a conscience that's always troubling you. He wants you to enjoy his peace in your heart. He also wants you to enjoy the blessing of salvation, because our sin has incurred his displeasure, and he is so holy that he can't turn a blind eye to it. It all has to be punished. And so the Bible says after death is the judgment. So we need to be saved from that judgment. So there's a whole wealth of spiritual blessings that God wants us to enjoy: forgiveness, redemption, cleansing, justification, peace, the salvation of the soul. And it is all illustrated in the fact that this man made the great feast. Now, as I indicated, When the day of the feast arrived, the servant was sent out with the message, "Come, for all things are now ready." I can say to you today that as far as these spiritual blessings are concerned, all things are now ready. That is, they are available to you. They are available to you because God took the initiative to make them available, and they have been purchased at tremendous expense. It cost God the death of his Son. He sent the Lord Jesus into this world, and the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross paid the price in full, whereby we could be forgiven and saved. Perhaps you remember that before he died on that cross, he cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." Now please, he did not say, "I am finished." He wasn't finished. Oh, it is true that he would literally die upon that cross. But after his death, he was taken down by two loyal followers, and very carefully and affectionately, they buried him in Joseph of Arimathea's new tomb. But then on that third day, the tomb was empty. He'd been raised from the dead, so he wasn't finished. He's alive today. He's a living Saviour. What he said when he was dying was this, "It is finished." That is, all the work that was necessary to make available to you forgiveness and salvation, it was all done, accomplished by him when he died upon the cross. Some of you may have heard of Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was reared in Yorkshire in England in the 1800s. His father was a Methodist man, and he was a full-time chemist, but he did some preaching in the Methodist church as well. He was a real Christian man. For a time, Hudson Taylor tried to make himself a Christian. Well, he soon discovered that no one can make themselves a Christian, and he got so discouraged that for a time he espoused an atheistic viewpoint. But then one day, he was in his father's study and came across a little pamphlet. He read it, and in that leaflet he read the words, "The finished work of Christ." Now Hudson Taylor asked himself the question, why does the writer speak about the finished work of Christ? Why does he not speak about the sacrificial work of Christ or the atoning work of Christ on the cross? Why does he use this phrase, "the finished work of Christ"? And he could see it in an instant. All that was necessary to save his soul and make him a Christian had been done by the Lord Jesus Christ when he died on the cross. And so we sometimes sing a hymn which says, "It is finished, yes indeed, finished every jot. Sinner, this is all you need, tell me, is it not?" So God does not ask you to contribute towards your salvation. You receive salvation by faith in Christ. He finished the work, so I can say to you today, all things are now ready. But that servant said to the people, "Come, for all things are now ready." And in order to benefit from what had been done, and in order to enjoy the great feast, they had to respond. They had to come. Now, in the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ said so very often in Scripture, "Come unto me." You might ask, what does it mean to come to Christ? Well, he explained in John 6 that it means to believe on him, to trust in him. Have you ever come to Christ? Has there ever been a time in your life when you realized that you needed the Lord Jesus and you turned to him in repentance and believing that when he died on the cross, he died for sinners, so he died in your interests? Have you ever responded to him? Have you ever said, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." You've got to come to him for peace of mind and rest of conscience. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You've got to come to him for true contentment and satisfaction in life. He said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come unto me and drink." If you're questing, if you're thirsting for real satisfaction, you've got to come to Christ. You've got to come to him for cleansing. He said, "Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." You've got to come to him for safety. The very first time that word "come" was used in the Bible, it was in connection with the story of Noah. And God said to Noah, "Come thou and all thy household into the ark." They had to come to a place of shelter and security. And so, the Lord Jesus Christ invites you to come to him. Have you ever come? Come, for all things are now ready. The sad thing is that when he was here on earth, not everyone came to him. One day he said to his audience, "You will not come to me that you might have life." If he was sitting right beside you, where you're listening at this moment, would he have to turn his eyes on you and say, "You will not come to me that you might have life"? Have you never responded to his call? He's saying to you today, "Come, for all things are now ready." Now, as I indicated in the parable, two for commercial reasons and one for a domestic reason wouldn't go to the great supper, to the great feast. They just wouldn't go. What kind of excuses keep you back from coming to Christ? Some people think they're too good to come to Christ. They don't need salvation. They've been respectable. Everybody needs to come to Christ. Some people think they're so bad that he wouldn't receive them. But he did say, "Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." So don't have your excuses lined up. You need Christ. You've got to come to him. Come, for all things are now ready. Well, as I indicated, as a consequence of many refusing to come, the servant was sent out into the city and eventually to the country areas, and poor people and those who were crippled and those who were blind, they were all invited to come. I can imagine him approaching a very poor man and saying, "Look, you're invited to a great feast." The man would say, "Have a look at me. I'm in tatters. I can't afford a place at this great feast." "But sir, you're not asked to pay anything. All you're asked to do is to come." Imagine him speaking to someone who was absolutely crippled. "You're invited to come to a great feast. Have a look at me. I'm absolutely helpless. I couldn't do anything to earn a place at that great feast." "But mister, you're not asked to do anything. All you're asked to do is to come." Now, in the same way, God does not ask you to pay for a place in heaven. He does not ask you to work for his salvation. As I've indicated already, all the work was done when the Saviour suffered and died upon the cross at Calvary. And all that you have got to do is to repent of your sin and come to him. And so the servant said to his Lord, "Well, we've done as you've commanded, and still there's room." Now I can say to you today, still there's room. What I mean is this, there's still opportunity for you to be saved today. The Bible says now is the day of salvation, but that day of salvation has not run to its conclusion yet. But someday it will. Someday it will. God's house is filling fast, yet there is room. Some soul will be the last, yet there is room. So I would urge you to have a care for your soul today and realize that you must respond to the invitation of Christ. You see, if you don't come to him, one day you'll stand before him, and then he will not say to you, "Come unto me." Then he'll say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And hearer, it will mean eternal judgment. It will mean the wrath of God forever and ever. It will mean eternal torment when he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." So you come to him today. The story the Saviour told did end on a kind of sad note. The man in question said, "None of those men which were invited shall eat of my supper." You see, refusal to come means eternal exclusion from the blessings of God. You'll never be forgiven. You'll never be redeemed. You'll never be saved. You'll never enjoy peace with God or any of these other spiritual blessings to which I've referred. You'll never enjoy any of them unless you come to the Saviour in true repentance and in genuine faith. I'm wondering if you'll come. I'm wondering if you'll come right now. You don't need the instrumentality of a preacher. It's between you and God. Christ invites you at this moment to come to him. You just get down on your knees. If you're listening in your own home, get down on your knees, confess your guilt, repent of your sin, and believe on him who said upon the cross, "It is finished." For your salvation depend on the finished work of Christ.